Hiya, welcome to The Gadget Show. I'm Susie Perry.
And I'm Jason Bradbury, and huge thanks to CEX for supporting this show.
Have you got a drawer full of unused gadgets? I know you have. Trade them in for cash or credit and put them to better use.
Or browse their shelves for everything from gaming gear to flagship smartphones, all pre-loved, inspected and backed with a 5-year warranty.
Recycle, rehome, upgrade, all in one place. Head to webuy.com or swing by a CEX store near you. Welcome to the Gadget Show podcast inbox edition. This is where you take control. Your questions, your confessions, your triumphs and your tech fails. We're cracking them all open today.
Yep, think of this as the show powered entirely by your curiosity and occasional chaos. We've got disasters, dilemmas and a few corkers.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not hang about then. Let's crack on. First up, the most bizarre product that you've ever been sent. That's a question from Jeff Bailey. Thank you for right. That one. Right, most bizarre. Well, one of mine, the banana phone.
Yeah.
So literally a banana-shaped Bluetooth handset.
Really?
Yeah. You pair it. It's weird because you pair it with your mobile and then you hold the banana to your face to take calls.
I love it.
I mean, to be fair, it actually does work. But you look like an absolute escaped cartoon character when you're in public. Lunatic. That'd be one of my weird ones, I think. And then there was also, do you remember that shoe that had like a little compartment under the heel to put a drink in?
Yeah, I seem to remember that.
Yeah, and then so if you get thirsty or if you wanted a little tot of something while you're walking, you just take your shoe off and do a shoey. But what I always used to think, what if you stood in a bit of dog poo or something?
Oh, God.
No, I know. Those are mine. What, you got anything weird that you've been sent?
What an image. You out in Wolverhampton for the night with the girls.
Drinking out of my shoe.
So you don't notice what your tot of whiskey's been dipped in. Some horrible puddle.
Whiskey sour, anyone? It will be. I've actually just been given something as well, which is like a little cat brush, but you put water in and it sort of pops out this mist of water so you can clean your cat.
Nice.
Which I think is a bit weird because most of my cat just cleans itself. But anyway.
Okay, so way back in the day, we went to the studio of a brand at the time called Pokia. Like Nokia, and it was a guy, and he was like an industrial designer, and he did kind of bespoke phones. So he did things like you know, like the president's red phone, you know, like the nuclear missile phone, or some kind of bonkers 1970s
Batman phone, like a bat phone.
Yeah, that sort of really interesting retro sort of plastic phones. And also, he did a whole range where you got just the handset from like a trim phone from the 80s, and then it had a curly cable, and you plugged it into the bottom of your, what would have been a Sony Ericsson or your old school Nokia back then, because that's how long ago on the gadget shit was. Mm-hmm. So they were bizarre, but also quite quirky. And around the time, if I can just expand your brief a little bit here, we were seeing him because I was designing my own phone, which was the world's first Bluetooth phone glove. Which I actually made using the electronics of a Bluetooth headset. And when you opened your phone, your hand, and you put your phone hands into that position, it's connected to the call if you had an incoming call. So that was really, really cool. And that in itself, I think, fits into your brief.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Jeff, so that's a slightly expanded answer to your question. But I have heard of a gadget, although I've not been sent it, which I think is absolutely bang on. And it's the smart butter dish, Susie. So not Wi-Fi connected or anything, but it claims to keep your butter perfectly soft for spreading with special insulation and a lid designed to lock in moisture. So there you go. Not been sent, but if you'd like to send me one, whoever you are that's making that ridiculous gadget, I'd love to receive one.
Or you could just leave your butter out and not put it in the fridge.
So this is from Daniel Trent, and he said, I loved your chat on the Samsung XR headset, VR, AR, XR. What's the difference? And should I care, says Daniel. Susie.
Well, it should you care is up to you, Daniel, to be honest.
Yes, Daniel.
but you probably should care. So I'll give you a quick breakdown. So VR, virtual reality, so you're fully inside a digital world, brilliant for gaming and escapism. AR, augmented reality, digital labels or content on top of real life. Like if you're planning your house and you're trying to put some furniture in there or something like that, you can use it to, you know, move your sofa around, that kind of thing. That's AR. XR is extended reality, and that's sort of like a combination of the two, really, a blend of both, where the headset can switch modes depending on what you're doing. So if you want immersive gaming or futuristic productivity, then yes, it is definitely worth caring about, Daniel.
I think that's really good, Suze. Good job. I think XR really is, Samsung are leading from the front with that phrase, aren't they? But it's a kind of umbrella for mixed reality. So both the ability to do VR and augmented reality. The Vision Pro is good at that because it's got that kind of rose thing. They call it is it the rose? It's like you have on a watch and you dial it. You can dial in full immersion in VR, or you can open it out and then you can see the room, but you've still got your virtual assets hovering around. So you can have, like, you know, three screens or something like that, instead of having actual monitors. And I think it's worth caring about because I think inevitably it's where we're going. I think as we move away from handsets, as you know, people that listen to this podcast will know I'm hammering on about it all the time. The mobile phone has to go. And the only way that we can replace it with something meaningful is going to be, you know, these bins.
But I think, you know, it's fair to say it's early days, isn't it? We're in a situation where those ecosystems are still growing, but it is what's going to happen in the future. So, early days.
What about Alex Reed's question? Best gadget you've got most excited for this year?
Well, you probably know what mine will be. It's the new Amazon Kindle Scribe Colorsoft.
Love it.
Yeah. So I love a Kindle, and I love the color, the soft colors, and it just adds. The black and white thing, you know, that's, I would never read that now, but I love the softness of these colors. 11-inch display, full color writing, and reading experience. Obviously, AI powered notebook tools. I'm not sure how much I'm going to be using those, but interesting, and that super paper like feel has really sold me to it. The color e-ink screen is, you know, it's really easy when you're reading. It's easy on the eye, doesn't make your eyes hurt. The premium pen comes unchanged, and I can finally carry one device now for books and notes. So that's what's intriguing me with it. So, you know, I'm always on the move with a bag full of stuff. And this does feel like a perfect traffic. What? I'm so jet lagged. Am I making any sense at all? No. It feels like the perfect travel companion. That's what I'm trying to say. If there is such a thing.
Then say that.
I can't.
No, I'm joking.
What about you, Jace?
For me, I think, surprisingly, I'm going to go with the Samsung Galaxy XR, even though I've not got hands-on, which is a little bit tricky. So please, listeners and viewers, bear that in mind. But, you know, I'm mad about mixed reality, and it's finally getting interesting. Sharp visuals, proper pass-through, hand tracking, as well as controllers. So that means that you're not just waving controllers around like a maniac. It's got some interesting, you know, interface possibilities. It feels to me like the closest we've come to a headset that could actually become a daily device.
And much more affordable.
Much more affordable than the Vision Pro, which we love, even though the Vision Pro, which started this podcast, it was one of the first things, if not the first thing we ever reviewed, is an absolutely beautiful thing, and Apple have smashed it and got out of the ballpark with that.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a very expensive piece of kit as opposed to this, which is still expensive, but it's a little bit more affordable at the aforementioned £1,500. So if they nail the software, which is going to be a challenge when the likes of, you know, Meta with their Quest 3 and other Quest units have such an extensive library of games and great experiences and sort of mixed reality productivity tools and so on. They're going to have to really do some catching up. But if they nail that, this could be the start of a whole new way of computing. So that's definitely my choice. And I just, if I can be cheeky and say also the Xbox Ali X, which, as you know, is a next-gen mobile gaming system, a bit like the Steam Deck, but gives you Xbox, you know, out of the box, is very, very exciting. Quick shout out to our sponsor, CEX, the best place to trade, upgrade and save on tech.
Yeah, if you're thinking about upgrading your phone or laptop, don't pay the full price. You can trade in what you've already got and knock hundreds of pounds off your next upgrade.
For example, if you fancy the latest in gaming and have an old PS4 to trade in, you could get up to £100 towards a PS5 at £360, or a Nintendo Switch OLED for about £190.
Yeah, plus they've got loads of everyday tech as well. Tablets, headphones, Bluetooth speakers, fitness watches, even home office kit like monitors and routers.
Yes, and all of that comes with a 5-year warranty because CEX actually tests everything they sell.
So don't buy new, buy smart. Head to webuy.com or drop into one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK. Right, here's a question from Emily Hobbs. She says, is there a gadget in your home that absolutely infuriates you, but you keep it anyway? I might be better suited to answer this in a couple of weeks' time, but I'll say for now, Wi-Fi, you know, just to get that right. At the moment, that's infuriating me because I can't get it sorted. So yeah. I'll go with that, Jace. What have you got?
Strange enough, my like printers.
Oh yeah. I agree with you.
Printers. So if you're not careful, you can buy what seems like a really inexpensive printer and then pay through the nose for ink. for ink. And you get a printer and it's constantly blocking up. Paper feed doesn't work. You can't connect to it on the Wi-Fi. I've had all kinds of really frustrating situations over the years. Interestingly, the reason maybe I'm saying this, I've just bought a new printer. I've gone for one by HP. I went to Currys and I bought one just like anyone else, having read the reviews, spent quite a lot of money on it, something like £250, because it's going to work out cheaper down the line with the ink. It's got a big ink reservoir.
That's actually not that expensive, I don't think.
It's not too bad and I can fill it. Yeah, but a lot of them are £40. I mean,
you replace your ink every day.
But I've got, you know, so far so good. It's a digital scanner. I can use it a bit like a photocopier. I can scan my daughter's artwork for a degree and stuff. And when she comes back, and so far, I connected to it instantly and it worked. And I've had, oh gosh, should I say it? Touch wood, no paper jams just yet. But that is a technology that over the years has caused me, I think, the most frustration.
Right, here's one for you, Jace. This is from Ryan Jacobs. He says that PS2 turns 25 this year. So what are your favourite PS2 memories and games?
Man. Oh, there are so many.
Well, just pick two.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I think that was PS2, wasn't it? Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo 4 is what it was PS2. I gave you three. That's how good it is.
That's fine.
And what about you? What was your favourite Gadget Show episode and memory? Also, I wish Gadget Show Live was still around. Bring it back! And these two points are from Luke Grant.
Oh, Gadget Show Live was so cool when it was swinging and we were swinging from the rafters, quite literally. We loved doing it as well. I mean, there was nothing quite like it. You know, we had, I think, 3 or 4 audiences a day for 3 or 4 days and thousands of people and just the fun we had on stage. And every show was a bit different, wasn't it? Because it was sort of loosely scripted, as indeed was the Gadget Show. And then we riffed off it and, you know, different things happened. And what was my favourite episode and memory? Oh, I think it's really hard. I used to really like doing the challenges when we were out for the day, you know, when we used to go out for the whole day and do wild challenges and things like that. Some of those wild challenges were absolutely hilarious. And it was at a time where we actually genuinely did everything that we said we were doing. You know, there was no like, oh, and then you run in and pretend you've run for 5 miles. You know,
if it said we did it.
And God, we used to get injured all the time, didn't we? Because we were just falling over stuff and getting knocked off things. And just, you know what? I can't pick one, really. I can just say the laugh of doing it, the camaraderie between us all was amazing. The competition element as well was so real. And the limited time we had to do things and crack it.
We once did an episode up in Manchester. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like in
a science museum.
Yeah, and we had a live audience and I really enjoyed that experience. I thought that was a real... a real vibe to that experiment.
So I think we really kind of became quite energized by being live and having people in our midst. I think those were, you know, for me, the highlights. Gadget Show Live was massively a highlight for me. I love doing that show so much.
I remember things like, some of the, like the world record attempts, I was going to say. They were some of my favourite memories, those episodes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just those days out that we used to do where we were sort of, you know, we had to complete. I mean, sometimes we didn't finish till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't got to where we were supposed to be getting to. But the amount of incredible things and zip wires we were able to do and travel, transport things we were, you know, testing and just the experiences of everything was amazing to be a part of. It really was, especially the early days. You know, I think when it was growing and it was, we kind of really were energized by that and felt excited by it. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
Thanks for taking us back there, Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. It was really, really fun to do, to be a part of. Sometimes really painful and sometimes really tiring. Now, we've been asking for your tech confessions because we love it. I've got one for you here, Jace. It's anonymous. Right, so it says...
Oh, God.
I know. Here we go. Hey, Jason and Susie, I have a tech confession. I went all in on making my flat smart. Smart lights, smart plugs, smart blinds, even a smart kettle. I was living the futuristic dream until my Wi-Fi went down. And then I couldn't turn the lights on. The blinds wouldn't open. I had to boil water manually.
No.
I found myself standing in the dark trying to order myself a new lamp. And my neighbours definitely heard me shouting, Alexa, please, at 7 a.m. in the morning. I am now the only person I know who owns emergency non-smart light switches. Please forgive me. Smart home, dumb human.
That's really funny. That's beautifully written.
See, when tech goes wrong.
I'm so with you on that because I think it's the curse of being the early adopter, isn't it, Suze? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, you get the latest gear and it never works. And something like a light switch is a pretty critical thing to work. And I remember back in the day, I forget the protocol that they all used, and it was so unreliable. Absolutely awful. I've had smart locks fail on me, so I couldn't get in the door.
You know when they want to run the bath for you when you're 20 minutes from home and then you get home, there's a nice bath. Like, no, because what if you can't get in the door and your bath is boiling? It could have got worse. Your bath's running over. No, thank you. No, dumb human, dumb home for me. Right then, it's time for another Fact Off, the part of the show where Jason and I go head to head, armed with the most brilliant, baffling and occasionally completely useless bits of information that we can find. So who wins? Well, that's really up to you lot. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so the average smartphone user unlocks their phone around 70 to 80 times a day.
God, really? I'm going to come straight back at you with this one. There are more mobile phones in the world than working toilets.
Stop it. A single Google search uses more computing power than what NASA used on the entire Apollo moon landing project.
Oh, well, I never. How about this? The first ever website, info.cern.ch, is still live today.
Wow. The first computer mouse was made of wood and had wheels.
Okay, that makes sense though, doesn't it?
I want it to have a tail as well as ears.
Yeah, exactly. Smart speakers can activate by mistake up to 19 times a day without the wake word. Why did no one tell me this?
Yeah, I can believe that. One of the earliest VR headsets, the Sword of Damocles, was bolted to the ceiling to support the weight.
God, early VR, Suze. Not a great experience. The shortcuts, Control-Alt-Delete, that glorious three-finger salute, we all know and sometimes loathe. It was invented by IBM engineer David J. Bradley. He and his team were working on the original IBM PC in the early 80s and needed a quick way to reboot during development. So Bradley wrote the code in a handful of minutes, chose a key combo that was deliberately hard to hit by accident, and boom! One of computing's most enduring shortcuts was born. He once quipped, "I may have invented it, but Bill," by which he means Bill Gates, "made it famous." Yes, well said.
The term smartphone was first used by Ericsson in 1997.
At a time when their phones were anything but smart, Suze. And how about this? The first consumer smart watch was the IBM Simon in 1994, almost 30 years before our Apple watches.
Well, that's a wrap on this week's Inbox Edition. Thank you for every message, the tech confessions, we love them, the accidental gadget crimes, the chaos that you unleash. We genuinely adore it. Keep them coming.
Yes, and if your TV is trying to pair with your neighbour's Bluetooth speaker or your smart fridge has started judging your snack choices, we absolutely want to hear about it. Drop us a message on the socials, or you can email us, which seems so old-fashioned now, at contact@northone.tv.
And a massive thank you to CEX for backing the podcast. If you fancy a bargain upgrade, need a retro fix, or just want to turn that drawer of forgotten tech into cash or credit, head to webuy.com or pop into nearly one of 400 stores across the UK. And remember, everything comes with a 5-year warranty.
And if you haven't already, give us a follow or hit subscribe. We don't normally say that, Suze, do we? I think it's a really good point to make. The Main Gadget Show podcast, of course, drops every week with fresh gadgets, reviews, and the usual mayhem. So go on, give us a follow and a sub.
Yeah, thanks for your company, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint, and is a North One production.